Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to the very second edition of the Silver and Black Pridecast, featuring myself, Tyler Smith, better known as the Great Raider Domus, and Levi Damian. And today we're recapping the Raiders and Broncos game, which took place on Sunday afternoon, September the 16th, which the Broncos won 20-19 at home. So Levi, what were your impressions today of the Raiders' offense? Because they didn't have a very good second half or just an outing in general against the Rams. So what do you think they did differently today that gave them a little bit better success?
Well, I think for the most part, they just looked a little bit more organized. I mean, you saw against the Rams, basically the only time they were really, really put together was that scripted first drive. And then they came out in this game and they looked really good on the first drive as well, even though they didn't finish it out for a touchdown. But then it didn't end there. You know, it continued, and you didn't, and really for the most part, the biggest difference was Derek Carr's composure. He panicked in the pocket in the game before, and this one, he seemed to be able to, you know, just run the offense pretty well. He was very, very efficient. He only had like three incompletions. He threw for over 90% of his passes. I mean, granted, you want to look at a lot of it had to do with game plan. They weren't having him drop back and take any too many deep shots. They wanted him to get the ball off quickly so that he didn't face a lot of pressure. But if that's the offense you're running, and he ran it efficiently, I mean, there's not really much more you can ask from him for that. And I think the second thing is just getting the receivers more involved. Last week, as we know, it was all Jared Cook. I mean, and the big subject was the fact that he didn't get the ball to Amari Cooper hardly at all. And this week, they've completely flipped that on his head. He saw 10 targets, caught every single one of them for 116 yards. I mean, he was very involved in the offense when he wasn't hardly involved at all before. And you can't really say that it necessarily was a matter of the defense taking him away, because the Broncos have pretty good corners too. It was just a different, I think they made it an effort to make sure that they got him the ball, and he did a really good job of getting open. I think he did a pretty decent job of getting open against the Rams as well. They just didn't find him in those games. So, I think that was really big to see the wide receivers more involved. Jordy Nelson had a, you know, at least one long completion. And Seth Roberts had his big 20-yard touchdown and everything. So he had the top three receivers seeing a lot of passes, and I think it was a big deal. I also think the last thing I would say that really stood out to me was the Raiders' offense's first drive in the third quarter, because it came on the heels of the Broncos leading out the second half with the scoring drive. And you're thinking, oh no, here we go again. And then the Raiders come out there and march right down the field and score the touchdown. And it was the touchdown pass from Carr to Seth Roberts, and it being his first touchdown pass of the year. So it was a really big drive. And a lot of things in that game, from Derek Carr's perspective, were really positive.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that really encouraged me more than anything else, really, was the fact that I saw Carr on a number of occasions stand there in the middle of the pocket, guys closing in on him from every direction, from behind, left, right, and front, and he just stood there. and he stood tall, delivered a confident pass. It went exactly where he wanted it to go. He wasn't out there running around seeing ghosts. It completely flipped the script from the Rams game, because the Rams game, he was out there running for his life from nothing. And this game, there actually was pressure coming at him, and he didn't look phased at all. And he was there, he was confident, it looked like he knew what he was doing, and he really did. He went like 29 for 33 for like a 90.6 completion percentage, which I believe is the most completions ever for a player who's thrown 33 or more passes. So he's got a new record to his name today, and I was honestly pretty proud to see that he did that.
Well, I think it was the completion percentage that was the highest ever for somebody with 33 passes. But I think the numbers, they sound really good. But I think if you want to look at the flip side of the of how many completions he had, is the fact that he had 288 yards, which means he averaged less than 10 yards per completion. Which that's not great. You expect if you're going to complete nearly 30 passes that you're going to have no problem getting over 300 yards. But what you were saying about his pocket presence, I think what we saw last week is he got sacked by Michael Brockers near the end of the third quarter. And after that, he completely melted down. He was all happy feet, making those weird passes and stuff like that. After that is when the offense couldn't score again. The Rams went like the rest of the game 20-0 from the end of the third quarter to the end of the game. And this one, he got sacked by Von Miller pretty early on. He actually got sacked a couple of times. One of them was wiped out by a penalty. But after those sacks, nothing changed. He's still, as you mentioned, he's still the same. He was still the same in the pocket, same quarterback as he was before that. It didn't make him, it didn't freak him out. So who knows? Maybe last week it was just he needed to get that first sack out of the way. It scared him. He righted himself through the week. And now now he'll be better off the rest of the season. So that's certainly possible.
Okay. On the flip side of the field, what did you see from the Raiders defense that either encouraged you or concerned you? How do you think it went on the defensive side of the ball today?
Well, again, it was another one of those first half versus second half type situations. They looked fantastic in the first half, shutting them out. We talk about last week holding the Rams to 10 points. Well, they shut out the Broncos in the first half and had their first interception. Rashawn Melvin, that was a fantastic interception. He just kind of swooped over there and picked it off what looked like it was practically a sure touchdown. He picked it off right there at the goal line. And, that's obviously something last year we didn't see until the 11th game of the season. So getting that interception so early on in the season is always a welcome sight. So, I mean, you can't really say much for what the defense did in the second half. A lot of people want to say, they were gassed and stuff like that. I would have bought that, in last week. This week, maybe with the temperature being what it was and everybody was kind of, but both teams are going through that. There's no excuse. The offense was keeping the ball long enough to give in most cases, to give the defense time to rest, specifically late in the game, that last drive the offense had where they ate about, I think it was 3 or 4 minutes off the clock and before giving it back to the Broncos, and then the defense just gave up that last play and missed a couple tackles to give up the game-winning field goal. So the second half was very different. It was kind of the same story last week. They got to be able to close out games. Obviously, we know that a lot of that has to do with the fact that they don't have their closer anymore. We all know that's what Khalil Mack's job was. He came in to close it. And he just wasn't there. And the result was the same as last week. They had a sack early on in the game in the first half and then nothing. And they couldn't get any pass rush at all through the second half. And you can't go through games like this. You can't go through games without any pass rush whatsoever. All that, in a game like this that ends with a 1 point difference and on a last second field goal, it only takes one or two plays, one sack here and there to stall a drive and upend things to change the entire outcome. And you just didn't see that.
About the conditioning issue, I mean, as far as the Raiders being gassed at the end of the game, do you think that's something they can work on as far as their physical conditioning, or was it just a product of playing in Denver, or was it something that the Broncos did specifically with their game scheme to try to wear the Raiders out? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know if it was necessarily a conditioning thing. I just say that some people were saying that they were gassed. I don't necessarily think I believe that. I think that, you know, whatever issues the teams were having, it was issues that both teams were facing. The thin air thing isn't going to necessarily affect one team different than the other. I did some research when they went to play Mexico City last year about the effects of thin air on the body, and the fact that it actually doesn't start affecting you until for like a couple of days after you've been in that environment. So your two courses of, and then you don't actually acclimate to it for a couple of weeks. So if you want to play in thin area in a thin air stadium somewhere, you either have to A, go there at the last minute, which is what the Raiders did, like they always do. You just go there on the Saturday before, and your body is still functioning on the levels of oxygen that it did before it left. You won't start feeling the thin air effects until later. Or you go to that place and stay there for 2 weeks so that you can acclimate to it. So in either way, their bodies were fine for the thin air, not to the effect that it was really. I don't think it was affecting them too much, not any more than the Broncos. It was just a miserable temperatures and whatnot. I don't think it's a conditioning thing per se.
What was your take on the Raiders special teams today? They did miss an extra point, which did turn out to be the difference in the game. And we also had Jordy Nelson returning punts. Do you think there's an issue there with punt returners? I mean, we're missing our starting punt returner today. So what's your take on the special team situation?
Well, I mean, it was a little odd having Jordy Nelson back there returning punts. I expected it to be Jalen Richard, which is what it was last year. And I saw him back there on kick returns at some point. But you know, it's a little strange when Dwayne Harris is your starting kick returner and punt returner, and he can't go, and your backup is supposed to be Nick Nelson, and then you don't even activate him for the game, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why you would do that? Why you wouldn't activate? I almost assumed, you know, Dwayne Harris can't go, it's going to be Nick Nelson. That's what it says on the depth chart. That's what you expect it to be. If he's the last corner on the roster, then that's what he'll be doing, is he'll be returning kicks and punts, or one or the other, not 33-year-old Jordy Nelson back there being a factor in the return game. And then as far as the punting is concerned, Johnny Townsend had a couple of pretty bad punts that didn't do the Raiders any favors. He had one that traveled like 40 yards and set they started it like the 30 or 35 yard line. And then that one at the end was really bad, where it was 49 yard punt to a touchback. So that's a 29 yard net, on a punt that they needed to pin the Broncos back as far as they could on that final drive to give them as far as they, you know, as possible that they needed to drive before they needed to try to kick the game winning field goal. And if you punt a touchback to give him the ball at the 20, you're doing him all kinds of favors there, and they really bit him. You can't have a 29-yard net punt at the end of the game like that. His whole reason for being here is because he's supposed to be creative. He's supposed to be a great directional punter, be able to place it where he wants. So he doesn't have the big leg that Marquette King had when he was with the Raiders, and still does, obviously, but so he's supposed to make up for it with just his leg talent in general, and he didn't do that. It's pretty bad when you're missing the big legged punter and he's on the opposite sideline.
So what's your take on Nick Nelson? Because I felt like he was one of the Raiders' more impressive defenders during the preseason, and yet he's been inactive for the first 2 weeks of the regular season. Is something going on there that we should know about? Do you have any insight on that?
No, I mean, I just think it's a matter of they have X amount of roster spots on the active roster. They have X number of corners. They probably like some of the other guys to do other things on special teams. You saw, you know, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie's been playing special teams, and he's been doing a pretty damn good job of it. So it's just it's a numbers game, is what it is, as far as I can tell. And they wanted to have those receivers active. That was a little bit of a that's what I found to be a little strange. When you talk about a numbers game, which, like I said, I think it is, and yet Brandon LaFell, who I don't recall seeing play a snap in the game. If he did, he didn't have any catches as far as I could tell. And yet he's active for the game. Why would he be active and Nick Nelson be inactive, the guy who can actually return the punts? I have to look at the snap counts tomorrow to see what they used Brandon LaFell for, if anything. But that's a mysterious, that's a very strange decision to have him active and not Nick Nelson in the return game situation.
So where do you think the Raiders go from here? I mean, do you think there's any like major changes that they should make schematically, or is this 0-2 start just a matter of them playing the Rams, who are really, really good, and also playing a tough game at Denver? Do you think there's anything they have to do differently to have any success from here on out?
I don't know that they can do anything differently, because right now they're working within the constraints of what they have on the field, the talent they have. I mean, you have Derek Carr doing these quick passes because the fact that you have a rookie at left tackle and you have a career left tackle at right tackle going against an elite pass rushing team, and you want him to be confident in the pocket. You don't want him to get destroyed on the pass rush. So you dink and dunk, and you quick slants and shallow crosses and stuff like that, and passes behind the line of scrimmage. You do all that stuff to in order to get him to do what he needs to do. So I mean, you go against other teams, you know, the game plan will be a little different, but that's not a matter of the team doing something different as a philosophy. It's just like, well, this is a different opponent. We have different matchups, so we're going to game plan a little bit different for that. I don't think they're going to play the Dolphins the same way next week that they played the Broncos this week, because the Dolphins don't have the pass rushers that Broncos have. So perhaps next week you'll see a little bit more 5 and 7 step drops and a little more deep passing than you've seen in these first couple of games. And you would have to assume that the more, Derek Carr gets comfortable and John Gruden's scheme, the more things will open up for him in that regard.
All right. Well, I think we've adequately covered the Broncos game. We'll be back later on this week to preview the Miami Dolphins game, which should be in Miami. That should be an early game on Sunday, pretty sure. So we're going to sign out for now. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you for the next one. Thanks, and bye-bye.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.